Again, I'm going to do my best today to follow him. I was up most of the night, off and on. I got enough sleep. Picture after picture, vision, things he kept showing me. And before I really get into this, I don't know how far you had to drive to make it to this morning service, but the man walking in right there drove 745 miles all night long to be here. That's my good friend Anthony Boney. We go back over 20 years. That man has driven to hear me preach in Florida, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Ohio, hungry for the word. Arrived in town about 6 o'clock this morning, driving all night from Kenosha, Wisconsin. If you don't believe me, check it out. 745 miles. Good to have you here, Anthony. I was asking the Lord all night if I'm supposed to hand you the mic. And he said you came to receive. So that'll be another day. But if you want to have someone you can that can stand in your pulpit you can trust, it's Mr. Anthony Boney sitting right there. I trust him with my life. I was up most of the night, well, off and on. I got enough sleep, but off and on. And there was like a war going on. See, whichever way our election goes, we've already got a more sure word of prophecy. We've already got from the Lord that this revival has been released. I'm just going to read a few sentences that from this prophecy that came through Bronk. This came on October 14th. It's too late. Says the Spirit of the Lord. It's far too late, says the Lord, for this thing to be stopped. It has been declared in heaven, and it has been released. The dam, D-A-M, of my glory has already burst, says the Spirit of the Lord, and it is past the point of any adversary stopping this outpouring, says the Spirit of the Lord. That which I have decreed has been sent forth. The army hosts of heaven have already been briefed in the Spirit, and assignments have already gone out, says the Spirit of the Lord, of the winds and the wares of how these things will fall over this nation, which the Lord calls my nation. It's far too late for the adversaries in the church or out of the church to stop this thing. It's far too late, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this last paragraph, I'm skipping over parts of it for a reason. Not that I don't agree with it. It's just not what it's not the message for today. Many will continue, and I encourage you to continue to speak my word, now notice, as this birthing comes through the birth canal into the fullness. But I say unto you, this thing has been released in heaven. Now I remind you again of Daniel. When the angel got there after 21 days, and see, Daniel didn't know anything during that 21 days. He had to keep on praying and fasting like he had not been heard yet. He didn't know. He didn't know till the angel told him. But see, we're exactly at the point where Daniel was the first day that he set himself to pray and fast. Because the angel said the very first day, your prayer was heard from heaven, and I was sent. In other words, that angel got his assignment, and he was dispatched. But there was a great warfare that had to happen. Because he says the prince of Persia, which by the way is modern day Iran, and that prince is still there. Demonic prince, I'm talking. Principality. He's called a prince because he's a principality. He said, he withstood me. Warfare in the heavenlies. And Michael had to come with assistance. warfare happened for 21 days before this angel that had the assignment could be manifested in the physical realm where Daniel could hear him. Well, we're at the beginning of that period. In the same way that an angel was dispatched, released, our revival and the angels that'll be a part of it have been dispatched. But now the warfare. So Franklin Graham, again, has asked for a day of fasting today, prayer and fasting for the election, for the nation. And certain circumstances have, that's not going to happen for me today. That's okay. Because we've got more than a week where you can pray and fast, confess God's word, speak God's word. Yes, sir. And let me tell you this. Don't be like Peter, who already had it figured out ahead of time and thought he knew more than Jesus what was going to happen. Peter had a predetermined idea of what would happen when Messiah would come. And when Messiah came, would you say revival came when Messiah came? Yeah, I'd say so. But see, Peter thought he had it all figured out how it would go. And when Jesus told him that's not the way it's going to go, Peter actually, what he actually did was say, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I know more than you. I've read the Bible. Jesus, have you ever read Isaiah? Have you ever read Ezekiel? Because he rebuked him and said, this is not what's going to happen, like Peter knew better. But how many of you know Jesus knew the best? See, and so he's warning me, don't be neutralized. Don't be taken out of prayer. Don't give up if this election does not go the way you think it needs to go. And I think it needs to go. We are Christian first, American second. I love God. I bow my knee to God. I stand for the flag of the United States of America. But no matter how the election turns out, don't let that neutralize you. This thing has been released, and it is far too late to be stopped. If the election goes the opposite of what I would hope for, to me that just means revival is going to be even bigger than I thought it was, because it's going to be a greater miracle for it to happen. Our God is the God of greater miracles. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that's all he wants me to say on that. I think we should leave that on. There was a warfare. What brought that up about the warfare? There was a warfare last night, and it was like waves of demonic things would sweep over my mind. Now, I couldn't get any peace. I couldn't go to sleep. I was still awake. I should have just stayed up and prayed with Anthony. He was up all night driving, praying, you know. And the only way I finally had to change bedrooms so I wouldn't keep Sue awake, and the only way I could get peace was I went into the other bedroom, and on my phone I have the where I can play the Bible. I can play out loud. So I turned it down soft and let Alexander Scorby read Mark to me. And I know I was awake for a lot of chapters of Mark. I don't know what time I finally drifted off. Because even then it took, you know, my mind kept focusing on the Word. But even then it took a while. And then once I did fall asleep, a series of pictures, visions. The first one was this. Have any of you ever seen where they, from outer space, they take a photograph at nighttime when the, you know, when our part of the planet is at night, of all the electric lights that are on around the world? You ever seen that picture? He didn't show it to me early enough in the week to bring it and put it on the projector, but most of you have seen it, right? And you know how the United States, because we have so much electricity here, you compare the lights per square mile in the United States to like parts of Africa. Boy, there's not much light there because there's not much prosperity there. There's not much electricity there. And that's exactly the way it appeared. I saw it in me the same way that I have seen that image on the internet before, with America just blazing with light. Of course, certain parts of the nation more populated than others, but still. And I knew that, I knew what he was saying. And he wouldn't even let me write these verses down. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I got to quit apologizing. My job is to follow him. Because what I would hear was this. You are the light of the world. See, I remember the first time I ever read that, I thought, what kind of Bible is this? You know, this has got to be wrong. Jesus is the light of the world, see. And what kind of Bible is this? Must be, you turned it around and read on the back, King James. King James, authorized version, you know. You are the light of the world. See, that's in the Sermon on the Mount, by the way. It says, so let your light shine so that men will see it and they'll glorify my Father. Well, in the early, probably pre-Dave days, when I didn't know how to meditate the word, I would have thought that means, well, he wants the world to see me feeding the poor, you know. He wants the world to see that we Christians, we pray. You know, prayer, fasting, giving, those are the kind of things that, you know, let your light shine. Oh, and be nice to my wife, you know. But see, following Dave and learning how to meditate the word, the Sermon on the Mount, just the very next chapter, after he says that, you are the light of the world, let your light shine. He says, now when you give to the poor, especially when you give to the poor, like feeding the poor, don't do it to be seen of men. So he's not talking about that, is he? He's not talking about your giving. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. So he's not talking about giving. Okay. Then he talks about prayer. And he says, no, don't be like these hypocrites who like to stand on the corner and everybody watches them pray and they give them honor for it. And, you know, no, when you pray, you go into your closet. In other words, letting your light shine is not letting the world know that you're a praying person. Did you know that even the disciples did not know how Jesus prayed? Don't get me wrong, they were in the vicinity, but he would walk off a little farther from them. And you know that from Luke 11, because they said, would you teach us how to pray? Meaning, they didn't get to hear him pray, or they would have known how to pray. Isn't that right? Does that make sense to you? Now, he would bless the bread, and he would do some things publicly, but when it came to his personal prayer life, he did what he tells us to do. And the point I'm making about you are the light of the world, we know now it's not talking about giving. It's not talking about make sure you let people know that you pray. No, it's not about that. And then even fasting. I can't believe this, that in those days they would actually put makeup on. They would. You read about it. They'd take ashes, you know, the soot, and they'd darken around the eyes, make them look hollow, you know? Yeah. And wear sackcloth to let people know that they were fasting people, you know. He says, no, when you fast, don't do it to be seen of men. Don't even let them know you're doing it as best you can, you know. See, all three of those things, that is intimate. That's between you and your Father. He says your Father, which sees what you're doing in secret, sees what? Prayer, giving, fasting. Your Father who see, he's the one watching you do those things. He's the one watching. That's all part of really fellowship with your Father, if you want to know, besides worship. He says, no, your Father which sees in secret. Now, he's going to reward you openly. You're doing it in secret, and he's watching you do it in secret. But he's going to reward you openly. Okay? So, we're back to, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Yes, sir. Say it with me. Put your hand on your heart. According to the Master, who cannot lie, I am the light of the world. And I let my light shine so that men may see the good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. Because it really is the Father in me. He's doing the works. And that's your reward. Yeah. And that's what we're to let the world see. The Father working in us. Because what I saw, again, I saw that, like, that picture from outer space. All these lights in the United States. And I knew you wasn't talking electricity now. He's talking us. He's talking believers. I saw them begin to move in my dream vision movie last night. The lights began to move. And because there were still many dark, pretty dark regions of the United States, and the lights began to move into the darkness. Did you ever notice? You can flip a switch and darkness has no chance. So then I knew he was talking about us manifesting the light of God to the point that when we go into darkness where anybody's not saved, where people are not born again, any hospitals, if you allow me, anywhere where darkness is reigning, we're to let our light shine. But it's really the works of the Father. That's the light. Then I heard, it's John 8:12. I just know this one. Now there Jesus says about himself, I am the light of the world. Well, at that moment he was the only light of the world. He was the only begotten Son of God on the planet Earth at that moment. For thousands of years and all the millions or billions of humans that had been born, not one of them was born with the light on the inside. Not one. Until Jesus came. Now, at that moment, he is the only one. But boy, did he take his light into the darkness. The blind saw. The lame walked, the deaf would hear, the maimed were made whole, and when needed, the dead were raised. Now that's the works of the Father. Jesus plainly said, the works that I do shall you do also. Oh, back to John 8:12. He says, I am the light of the world. But those that believe on me, they shall not walk in darkness. In other words, you yourself are not going to walk in. You'll walk into the darkness. But they're not going to walk in darkness themselves. Why? Because they shall have the light of life. We don't have any problem seeing Jesus being the light of the world, do we? We don't see any problem with Jesus manifesting that light through the works of the Father everywhere that he went. Where we have a problem is when he says, he who cannot lie says to us, I'm going to say to you, you are the light of the world. Because you have received the light of life. And it's no less the same life that Jesus had on the inside of him. And I want you to let your light shine, that men may see the works of the Father working through you, so that they will glorify our Father, which art in heaven. That's called revival, my friends. That's called revival, and that's exactly where he's called us to. So again, the little lights in my dream vision movie, they began to move into the darkness. And as they moved into the darkness, other lights began to appear around them. Why? They were letting their light shine. They were letting men, lost men, see the works of the Father being manifested through them. And they wanted to have the same God that you have, because they saw the light. Now, many won't come to the light, the Bible says, because they love the darkness. Their deeds are evil and they want to continue to do them. Many won't come to the light. But thank God, about a billion are going to. Part of that prophecy, God is looking at a billion soul harvest. Part of that, the majority of that harvest will come from the world. But a big part of that harvest will come from the church. Because we have big and little churches where people are not born again. They have a form of religion, but they have denied the power thereof. Revival is going to change that. Then I heard this. Okay, now you got the picture. Say it with me. Put your hand on your heart. Jesus, the Master, the one who cannot lie, said, I am the light of the world. And I let men see the Father working through me. He's doing the works so that the Father can be glorified. Then I began hearing this. Christ, put your hand on your heart again. Christ dwells in my heart by faith. He lives there. The Anointed One lives in me. The Anointed One lives in me. My work is to believe on Him whom God has sent into my heart. The works that He did, I do also. And greater, even greater works shall I do. Because Jesus is now with the Father. But He lives also in me. Hallelujah. This is called the helmet of salvation. This is where you begin to actually believe what He said. The helmet of salvation, it's not an accident that it's listed last in the armor. See, all of the armor is for your protection. Because if you think the enemy is just going to bow down while you walk into revival, look around the room. Dear Lord. Paul plainly says, the purpose of his even writing the letter to the Ephesians, which means also the Holy Spirit writing it to us, is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because our warfare, even the battle for this nation, is not with personalities. It's not with people, even though it seems like it is. It's not. It's against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. They're going to do everything they can to destroy you. They're going to do everything they can to stop you. And Paul says, if you don't have on this armor, And I mean all of it. You're going to be destroyed. Now you may not die physically, but God's plan for your life, God's plan for your life will be destroyed unless you have on this armor. And I mean every piece of it. Well, what starts? How does Paul describe? What is the foundation rock of putting on the armor? The belt of truth. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the life. And I am the truth. That's not the knowledge of that that puts the armor on for you. Thank God for our pastor. By the way, it happened again this morning. When I opened my phone, pastor's face was looking at me. Now, I'm not a technological idiot. I'm pretty good. How that got on my, how that appeared there? I don't know. Nobody sent it. I can tell when you send it. No. I'd be honest. I always try and be honest with you. I was not even aware that particular message was available like that, except at Dave's website. But there it was on YouTube. Of course, Dave, it's that picture that used to hang in the lobby from the face up, you know, it's a good looking picture of Pastor. Okay. And there, and he begins to speak right in line with what I was seeing last night. Our God is the God of technology too. He's got angel nerds. Knowledge. They know what they're doing and they're good at it. Yes. My goodness, I haven't told that in 15 years. 20 years maybe. But I'm not going to ignore anything he shows me because Anthony needs it. I was doing a job with Lazarus. Y'all remember Lazarus, the pickup that we raised from the dead? I was in that pickup, and we were doing a job at a really wealthy man's house, and it was a swimming pool. Very, very nice. That pool cost way more than my house that I live in. And if you never had the joy of pouring concrete in Oklahoma, in August when it's about 105, and that's in the shade, because that's where they measure it at the airport, in the shade. And humidity so high, you just stand in the shade and watch sweat drip off the end of your fingers, even if you're just standing there. It was a day like that. I remember it well. And it was just getting dark. And I went out to start my, everybody else was gone. There wasn't anybody on the job site but me. And I'm leaving. Right at dark. No cell phones, by the way, in those days. And this is out away. The nearest house is a good half mile away. And these houses are under construction, so there's, I don't even know if anybody would be there. Anyway, I get hot, tired, wore out, long day. Getting dark, ready to go home, go to Lazarus. Turn the key and nothing. And I mean nothing. Not even a, you know, like a dead battery sound. It didn't click. I'm bone tired. The natural me says, go raise the hood, see what's going on. But thank God this time the son me, sonship me, said, Father, all things are possible with you. If you'll just let this pickup start and get me home, I promise I won't put it off. First thing in the morning, I'll see what's wrong with this thing and I'll get it fixed. People say, you wouldn't answer a prayer like that. Well, maybe your God won't. Turned the key, vroom, started right up, drove it home. Of course, it was pitch dark when I got home. So I didn't raise the hood or anything. I said, thank you, Father. I did remember. I thanked him. If I'd have known really how bad it was, I'd have really thanked him. Because the next day when I got up, went out and raised the hood. The positive cable was still on the battery. The negative cable was off. Gary, that's impossible. Maybe for your God. And when I say off, what had really happened, that cable was so old. Remember, we raised Lazarus from the dead. It finally had corroded in two. And the cable was not connected. It was dangling there. But my pickup started anyway. He's got angel nerds. He's got angel mechanics. We need to raise the bar. Raise your hands for a moment. Just unless the next picture comes, I'm done. And I'm okay with it. I'm absolutely okay with it. My children that I birthed myself. My children born of my spirit, listen and hearken to me. For the path I've called you to shall not be marked with possible signs. They shall be marked with impossible signs. And those are the very works that you're to show the world, that they may finally believe that I have sent the Savior and that He dwells in you. Hearken to no impossible signs anymore, says your Father. My goodness. From that equine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even now I speak to your situation because you have raised it to me and you've asked me, but you've not matured yet to the point to use the sword of the Spirit as I commanded. So I am merciful and long-suffering and I will bail you out again. But in this season for revival, obey the instructions I've given. Complete the purging process. Because in that process is not only a walk of holiness and righteousness, but in that process is a walk of possibility that the world says is not possible. And when they see the impossible being done through you. And because of the purging, you refuse to take the glory. And you say, let me tell you about Jesus. He is the anointed one that lives in me. And what you're seeing is the Father's work and not my own. And then, they will glorify your Father. They will glorify me, says the Lord. And revival will rage, not only in this land, but it will rage around this world. For this very cause, I have not ended this dispensation, because I desire the sincere, the fruit, the great harvest. I desire souls, says the Lord. I'm calling you to be the lights that I've made you to be. Let my works flow through you that men may see them and know, they know you have no power of your own and you refuse to take any glory, then they'll only have one conclusion. Your God must be God. There is the revival of truth, soundness of mind, and sanity, says the Lord. Be not neutralized by anything that the enemy would send. Be not neutralized by what you see, hear, or even feel. Be not neutralized by anything apart from my word. My word is truth. And you shall walk in it, says the Spirit of your Father. Amen. Put your hand on your heart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To open the blind eyes. To set the captives free. The Father has sent Christ in me. The Anointed One lives in me. My job is to believe on Him, whom God has sent into my heart. Keep your hand on your heart. The Master said, he who cannot lie. He said, if I believe on him, which I do, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of my inner being shall flow rivers of living water. And everywhere that that river flows, whatever it touches shall live, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Fronde tarique. Frondo te kia. Smith Wigglesworth, I see this picture. I see him standing at Niagara Falls, and this is in his books. You can read it for yourself. He loved to go there. Preached around there quite a bit, by the way. But he loved to stand at Niagara Falls and remember that verse. I'm trying to imagine Smith, proper Englishman. Always well-dressed, they say. If he had a hat, I bet he had it off. Looking at that Niagara Falls, remembering that verse, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you've ever been there, it's not just the sight, it's the sound. It sounds like 100 freight trains rolling all the time. Power. And Smith would stand there, getting the vision like Abraham, would see the stars at night, that God gave him that vision so he'd have hope. And against natural hope, he believed in that hope. And he staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, believing that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Smith was standing there at Niagara Falls, remembering the verse, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and watching that wonderful waterfall and hearing the sound. And Smith would point at it and say, like that in me, Lord. Like that in me. Get a vision. Get a vision. Out, say it again. Put your hand on your heart, please. Out of my belly, shall flow rivers of living water. Okay, now I see it again. He had me start with the belt of truth on the armor of God. See, I just saw the Roman soldier. How did Dave tell us you really put it on? How do you put on the belt of truth? You need to know the truth. You shall know the truth shall make you free. But see, earlier in the chapter, Paul didn't change the subject really. He says, put away lying. Speak truth every man with his neighbor. How do you really put on the belt of truth? It's when you quit lying about anything. I mean anything. You only speak the truth. Yes, sir. Boy, this truth has been so, and it's still so vital to me. It's changed the way I minister because it got it across to me finally. Gary, every time you speak, it's you speaking. Or it's me speaking. I want it to be him speaking. See, really, that is the sword of the Spirit, which comes after the armor. Jesus, when he went to set the captives free, he did not walk in and quote scripture. That's the shield of faith. No, he would go in and he would issue a command. He would say, stretch forth thy hand. Take up thy bed and walk. He would speak the very will of God as if God the Father was speaking those words himself. And it really was, because I and my Father are one. Well, listen, you and your Savior are one. You have the mind of Christ. And so, well, I'm not walking in the fullness of it, doesn't mean you don't have it. And that's why he's given us the blueprint and the instructions and the Holy Spirit to purge anything out of us that doesn't think like him, so that we do think like him. And it's not a matter of knowledge. I see this. Remember when those guys tried to cast those guys? I think they were at Ephesus, I think. And they tried to cast the devil out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Well, they had knowledge, didn't they? This is the name that Paul preaches. They had that knowledge. They thought the name, they could use it like a good luck charm or an amulet or a spell like a witch would use. Were they using the right name? Sure. Did it work? See, because just like Dave told us, the day comes when knowledge is not enough. Presence, you have to have his presence. My favorite song right now, it'll change quickly. My favorite song this month, song of the month. Your presence is my weapon. Your presence is my greatest weapon. I play it all the time. Your presence. See, the Jesus that Paul preached was not a good luck charm, get out of jail free card, amulet, talisman, spell. The name of Jesus to Paul was fellowship. It was intimacy. It was he who bears the name in Paul, doing the works of the Father when Paul would speak. We're past the days of knowledge alone. Now, knowledge is good. We're supposed to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God. Study to show thyself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm all about study the word, know the word. I want more knowledge, to be honest with you, but I have discovered knowledge alone is not enough. We have to have his presence. His presence. Yes, sir. I see it again. Put your hand on your heart. The anointed one lives in me. Not in knowledge only, but in presence. And his presence is my greatest weapon. Hallelujah. Say it again. I am the light of the world.
He who cannot lie
said, I am the light of the world.
And I'm to let men see the good works I do.
But these are the works of the Father.
So that they may know that the Father has sent.
The anointed one to be in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it again, out of my belly
shall flow rivers.
Plural.
Rivers
of living water.
And everywhere that those waters flow.
And everything that those waters touch
shall be healed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you put on the belt of truth when you stop lying and you only speak the truth like Jesus did.
The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Have you quit worrying?
You worried about the election?
Stop. Well, if some are,
stop it.
Now, be responsible. Pray. Intercede. Just like he said, speak God's word. Declare the promises of God over our government.
But don't worry.
You probably haven't heard this.
It's too late, says the Spirit of the Lord.
It's too late.
It's far too late, says the Lord,
for this thing to be stopped.
It's been declared in heaven and it has been released.
But Daniel continued to pray and fast until he saw the answer.
Let's continue to pray and fast.
And again, I've got to say it again, no matter how the election goes,
don't be neutralized if it does not go the way that you think it should or that I think it should.
To me, I mean, I know how I want it to go. You probably know how I want it to go.
But if it doesn't go that way,
we're still going to have revival.
It'll be even more of an adventure.
Be more exciting to see how he does it if it goes that way.
Because it's far too late.
Hallelujah.
So, everywhere you walk, the reason he applied peace to the feet and then put on the whole armor,
everywhere you go, peace goes.
And it doesn't matter the storm that's raging.
The disciples all thought they were going to die, thought God had abandoned them.
Storm was raging.
They even went to Jesus.
Don't you care that we're about to die?
Had to wake him up though.
Because Jesus was in the back worried and fearful. And
oh, no, no. I'm sorry, that's the devil's Bible.
He was so full of peace in the midst of the storm, he's asleep on a pillow.
Glory to God.
We've got cities burning in America right now. We've got all kinds of disgraceful things going on. Just disgraceful.
And I have to admit, I was really getting in turmoil for a while.
And,
yes, sir.
Be careful what you hear.
If you're going to watch the news, if you spend 20 minutes watching the news, you better spend 2 hours in the Word and prayer.
You're listening to the wrong report.
We've got a good report from the Lord.
I'm at peace now. I really am. It took a little while. I am total peace no matter how it turns out. I'm not going to be neutralized.
Revival's coming, ready or not.
I want to be ready.
You do too.
Anthony wants to be ready.
He may be more ready than any of us.
You got to be hungry to drive 745 miles to be at an 8:30 service. Drove all night to get here. Hero. Absolute hero of mine. Now again, the reason he's bringing this armor, I just have to follow him. He brought the image back again. Tell the truth. Only say the truth. Walk in peace. Pray and fast and get in the Word and read this prophecy till peace comes. You need to be walking peace everywhere you go. See, that's why it's around the feet. When you go into any situation, you're walking in the peace of God. Breastplate of righteousness. Thank God that when he was made to be sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God. Thank God that is true. But how do you put it on? It's when you live holy. You deal with those sins, real sin. You deal with them. See, part of the return, when he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, first off, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. See, well, part of that wicked ways, the first level of that is repent from sin. If you're still sinning, stop it. He's empowered you to do it. That's what grace is. That you can say no and you can live godly in this present world in the very strength of Christ. Nobody could keep it with God on the outside, so God came on the inside to empower you to be able to walk righteous. Better have it on. What'll happen if I don't? You're not going to stand in that evil day. The enemy will find that handle. Trust me, he will find that handle. And he'll turn it at the most appropriate time to bring scandal on the kingdom of God. But even with that, revival's still coming. So, only tell the truth. Only speak the truth. Walk in the peace of God. The peace that Jesus gave us that is not like the world's peace. Put on righteousness. Put on the new man. Like he says earlier, all of this, everything in the armor you'll find earlier in the epistle to the Ephesians. He's just summing it up now. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Put on righteousness. John clears it up for you. Say, well, can I just keep sinning and still be the righteousness of God? How many are still 1 John saved? Remember 1 John? He who doeth righteousness is righteous. Sure, it starts off, we all start off pressing towards that mark. But if you listen to the new sheriff in town, it doesn't take very long to have that breastplate on and walking in righteousness. Then the shield of faith. That's really what, above all it says. Well, that shield of faith that they carried was large. It would cover the belt of truth. It would cover the breastplate. It would cover your, well, most of your, got to remember, their sandals had straps that come up almost to the knees. But the shield of faith quenches every fiery arrow that the enemy launches at you. You see that real easy when Jesus was attacked by the devil in the wilderness. There's how you use the shield of faith. You speak the word. You only obey the word. Matthew 4:4, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There it is. So if the tempter comes with anything, whether it's sin or, I like, especially the most insidious one to me is where he showed him the kingdoms of the world, took him up on the high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world, said, just bow down and worship me. Didn't you come to be king, Jesus? Didn't you come to save the world? Didn't you come to be the king? Here, I'll show them all to you. I got them. You don't have to go to the cross, Jesus. Just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you what you came for. Paul says, I warn you with tears. I warn you with tears that many. Many don't walk the same way I walk, Paul said. Many. Whose God is their belly. And the things they do is their very shame. And he's not talking about the world. He's talking about in church. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. And they're on every channel today. Every channel. You don't need to deal with your flesh. Here. You don't have to go to the cross. And they'll even do their best to get you to quit listening to Jesus. They'll say his words don't apply to you. That is heresy to the 10th power. If you're living in a church where anybody ever said that, don't walk away. Run away. Like you're running from a house burning down. Because that's the flames of hell that you're feeling there. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you'll take up your cross daily. Daily. And follow me. Well, he's talking about the death of the flesh, mortifying it every day. But the shield of faith, see, and thank God you go to a church where you've been taught to assimilate the word. Because you're full. You're full of the word, see. When the enemy throws any fiery dart at you, you don't have to go, wait just a minute. Stay right here. Don't shoot no more arrows at me. Wait. Give me 30 days to go read my word and find the right verse, and then I'll be right back. You already did. No. You got to be full of the word because it's out of the heart, the abundance of your heart that you speak. Gary, it sounds like a lot of people are not going to stand in the evil day. Yeah. They're part of the ones that's going to be rescued by the revival. But you got to be full of the word. So, well, I'm not. Well, get full. Get Dave's tape. Go online to daveroberson.org. Go to the series. Go to... There's two series on meditation there, and there's one on assimilation. That's your job. And pray in the spirit till your lips roll off on the floor. Pick them up and then pray some more. See, man, he said all that to get to the helmet of salvation, which is what this message is. See, the helmet of salvation, what does it protect? What does it cover? Your mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you no longer be, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That you be no more conformed to this world, be no longer conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your what? Oh, no, it's when you get born again, right? No, it's the renewing of the mind. I'm going to close with this. Now, this is an Allen closing. What does that mean? Nothing at all. Okay. We love our Allen. I, for years, thought a renewed mind was a mind that was renewed with the knowledge of God, and that's only half true. You do need the knowledge of God. You need to have that knowledge, what the Word says. But the individual person in my whole life that did the greatest harm to me spiritually was a man that had a photographic memory in college. And he literally had the whole word in him. With him, it wasn't a matter of memory, really. He had one of those photographic minds, and you could just quote a chapter, just an obscure pack, like, you know, Habakkuk chapter 2. And he would just stand there and quote it. You could not throw one at him, he couldn't do that. But he's not memorizing it. See, it wasn't in his heart in abundance at all. He had a photographic mind. He's just reading it off the page in his mind. And that man did me more damage. So, did he have knowledge? Well, absolutely. But I've learned, see, that knowledge alone, here we go again. Knowledge. Knowledge alone is not enough, see. A renewed mind is a mind that has knowledge. But a renewed mind is one that has bowed to that knowledge. You have become obedient to the word. That's how you're no longer conformed to this world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, today, this is my second Alan closing. What he's speaking today is, I started to say college level renewal. You know what he said? I started to say what he's speaking, like every time we put our hand on our heart. I started to say that's college level renewal. And he says, no, you're about high school. He's going to go way further than that. But he's trying to get us to think with that helmet of salvation, the way Jesus said we're supposed to think. And that's how, the only way to do that is to say what he said. See, this is the work. This is my third Alan closing. John, I believe it's chapter 6. Maybe not. What must we do to do the works, plural, of God? What must we do? See, that's a good revival question. I want to do the works, don't you? I want to see Homer's eyes in Florida. I want to see them open. Bronk wants it worse than me, I think. Homer wants it worse than either of us. I want to see names. Victoria. I want to see Victoria with a full brain that nobody on earth can give her. Boy, we're going to have to drive past some impossible signs, aren't we? But that's a renewed mind. See, it's one, and it's even, it's my fourth Alan closing. It's one thing to believe Jesus can do that. Where he's taken us now, Christ in you can do that.